to be able to have people to talk to about these challenges and people that really do understand, you know, it is really difficult to understand what it's like to live with MS if you don't have it. So yeah, to have those people that you can connect with, whether it's virtually or in person, is the most important thing, I think.
This is Let's Talk MS, the podcast of youth living with MS.
Let's Talk MS.
Welcome to Let's Talk MS, a podcast series created by Young Minds for Young Minds and proudly brought to you by the European Multiple Sclerosis Platform. I'm Semina Peterfi and I'll be your host for today. In the podcast series, we're about to unpack the complexity of living life as a young adult while navigating the challenges that come with MS. From dating to nutrition or dealing with MS stigma, we are here to navigate it all through expert insights and personal stories. Today, we'll explore the power of community and why people with MS need each other to foster a sense of resilience, advocate for change, and create a sense of belonging. I'm happy to have alongside me two very active members of the MS community. Tania Pills, she is member of the Young People's Network of EMSP. Tania has Latin American roots with Austrian influence. She has a background in marketing and communications. And she has founded her own group in Austria called International MS Community. Alongside Tania, we also have Amy Thompson from the UK. She's a founder and CEO of MS Together, winner of National Diversity Award, a freelancer, content creator, and a disability advocate. Welcome.
Hi.
Yes.
I will start by telling you how we all met each other, and that is through the Young People's Network, hosted by EMSB. This is a project that we have developed specifically dedicated to young people. It is basically a hub where young people with MS from across Europe come together to connect and advocate. And we tackle young adulthood, not just for ourselves, but to amplify the collective voice of advocacy. We organize and host a series of activities from webinars on topics of interest, meetups, and other fun activities like this podcast. We also connect with our national members from across Europe, forming a cohesive network that amplifies advocacy efforts. In this episode, we'll talk about the Young People's Network, but also the experience of Tania and Amy. So let's dive in. My first question for you today is, what inspired you to become activist of the MS community?
So I was diagnosed with MS back in 2018, and I remember being handed a scary looking leaflet and just being told that an MS nurse would get in touch. And I didn't know anyone with MS at this point, but all I wanted to do was to find someone like myself living with MS. So I engaged with charity websites and tried to find other young people on social media. But I felt like there was just very little representation. And I guess that's where I decided that I wanted to start sharing my own story and just try to change that experience for someone else in the future.
Wow, that's a nice way to start. And I've heard quite a lot of people talking about this scary looking leaflets. So Tania, is your experience quite similar?
It actually is, but also a bit different because I never got a leaflet. I was just advised to join my MS society here in Austria, not really by my neurologist, but by my sister, who is a nurse or has a background in healthcare. And she told me there was a society and that she would definitely advise me to go there and kind of check out the options they had for newly diagnosed people. This was back in 2020. And long story short, as soon as I joined my MS society, I did not feel represented necessarily, but what they were doing or the options and information they had around MS. First of all, because MS is so complex. So for me, it was the first time hearing what or about multiple sclerosis. So I was a bit scared in that sense. It is quite similar to your story, Amy. But on the other part, like you mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, I have a migration background, if I can say so. So I come from Latin America. I have Austrian family and I grew up here in Austria as an adult. Like I basically started adulting here in Austria, but I did not see myself represented as a person with migrational background who has a chronic illness all of a sudden in my society. So I did the same as Amy. I kind of started looking around on social media, connecting with other people, and I saw that the UK had a very active MS community, and I wanted to have that for myself and for Austria as well. Unfortunately, there was nothing similar to what I created, and I started it by myself. Like, if there was nothing here where I could kind of go and chat and share my story with others or connect with other MS patients, I decided that it was up to me to create something.
Beautiful. I'm happy to see that even though you struggled at first, both of you are here today with a well-rounded group. So how was that to start? Were there some challenges you have encountered? Maybe you can start with Amy.
Yeah. So I started to share my story, just all about MS, kind of the invisible side of MS as well, because that's kind of what I wanted to see. And so I started writing a blog called But You Don't Look Ill. And I just started sharing my story on there. And then basically I had a lot of young people reach out to me through that and just kind of say, oh, it's so nice to see another young person talking about MS. And I asked them all individually if they'd like to speak together and find out more about each other. And they all said yes. And that's basically where MS Together all started. So it started with just a handful of people in 2019. And then through the pandemic, we saw a massive growth. I think, you know, people were having these horrible diagnosis stories, like, you know, just getting letters through the post, not having face-to-face consultations. And I know that's still going on now, which is terrible. But I think it was, you know, a really tough time for everyone anyway, let alone if you throw an MS diagnosis in there as well. So people were looking for additional support where they could connect with others. As I said, that's when we saw a lot of growth. So we put on weekly virtual events for people just to try and keep them engaged and feeling positive and making sure that they felt like they had somewhere to go. And then it's just kind of gone from there, really. So late last year, we became a registered charity in England and Wales. And we now support a community of around 1,300 people aged 18 to 35 living with MS in the UK. So that's kind of how it all started. And then our kind of offering, I suppose, is through social, supportive and educational events and services, both virtually and in person.
That sounds like my dream.
So tell us where you are, if this isn't the dream you're striving for right now.
So we're very at the very beginning, I would say. Like, I did start my group in 2020, a few months after my diagnosis, just asking around on Facebook on all these expats groups, either if there was anyone who was an expat, an international person living in Austria with MS, and it was only a few people who wrote back to me. Nevertheless, I still wanted to do something because, as you mentioned, Amy, 2020 was the year for having online events and getting together online. And I think that helped me out at the beginning, having like starting the group itself. But now that we are out of COVID, sort of, people are still not sure whether a community is what they need right now. They are very comfortable online, but meeting in person is still a challenge for me. The group itself has grown quite a bit, very organically, very slow. And right now we're trying to organize like offline meetings and also kind of putting ourselves out there. My biggest struggle, I would say, is the I feel that COVID brought a lot of positive things, like bringing people together online, but it also affected the sense of community in a way of people don't really know the value of having an actual community, a physical community where you kind of meet people outside your job, your house, and you talk about topics like MS, for example. So what we want to be at is probably also in the next years to become a Verein. We call it a Verein, we say Verein in German, so like a charity, not an official charity, but like kind of small group that can create events and also promote our ideas and create awareness around the mess.
So both of you were talking about and have created a space for yourself. What do you think that the MS community needs in order for someone to feel included?
Good question. I think from my experience, it's just about having those people that can really relate to what you're going through. So, you know, for MS Together, we focus on people aged 18 to 35. And sometimes people don't understand why we only focus on that age group. And the reason is because it's, you know, during those ages, people are going through so many different life changes, big life events, you know, going to university, getting a job, changing jobs, dating, having children, going traveling, like so many different things that people are considering during that time. And I think, again, to throw an MS diagnosis into that time is, it just makes it all so much more difficult. So to be able to have people to talk to about these challenges and people that really do understand, you know, it is really difficult to understand what it's like to live with MS if you don't have it. So yeah, to have those people that you can connect with, whether it's virtually or in person, is the most important thing, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And I see it that I am the community manager of the Young People's Network, a CMSB. And what I see is by providing a space for young people to come together, you also feel more at ease that you can talk about things that are bothering you. And maybe you wouldn't bring them up with your friends because they are not living with MS. And it's the little things like talking about sexuality or not telling someone that you are going to go to the bathroom or use the restroom all the time. It's just a feeling of, I feel okay. I feel seen. Tania, would you like to add on to the discussion?
Yeah, for me, it's about normalizing living with a chronic illness and still feel normal yourself. Still be like, okay, I'm an MS patient and I'm also an artist. I'm an MS patient and I'm also a communications manager or a community manager. I feel that in my case, I target internationals, expats, and people with migrational background here in Austria. But I do feel that since they already have this label of being an international, an outsider, a foreigner, they are struggling with the label of MS. They don't know if like kind of stating that they have MS will benefit them or affect them in any way. So in people in my community, even though they want to be active, some of them still are kind of saying that they are still not able to talk about MS and they don't want to be associated with a community around MS because, okay, you're already being labeled with, okay, this is a community for only for MS people. So for me to feel included, for people to be more active, it would be kind of normalizing that you can have a chronic illness, you can be an MS patient while also living your life.
Yeah, that's a beautiful message. I think we're all nodding our heads. The listeners cannot see it, but we are all here nodding along with Tania. Do you have an example of an activity or like a moment from the past year that you would like to share with our listeners? It's a success story.
I think for us, it was something quite recently. So we hosted our like official charity launch event in September. And we basically brought together lots of people with MS, healthcare professionals, people from other MS-related organizations. And they all came together in one room in central London and also virtually as well because we live streamed it. And, you know, we shared about the work that we were doing, but we also allowed people to share their stories and raise awareness of MS Together, but also MS in general. And yeah, we got some really great feedback and it was just a really lovely day to be able to have people with MS and healthcare professionals, like really well-known healthcare professionals as well, come together and be able to share that knowledge. It was just really great. So yeah.
Yeah, for me, I think I have two occasions where I felt very proud of what I've been able to create. The first one was during the young people's meeting that we had back in Helsinki with the EMSB and the YPN. And I was talking to a person who lives in Belgium, but she's from Greece, if I'm not wrong. And we were kind of connecting, and I was telling her about my initiative and saying, yeah, you know, there's no, I haven't seen, like, I know that the MS community Europe-wide is very active, but I haven't seen anything for internationals or people with a migrational background. And she was saying that she never really considered this, that she's also a foreigner living in Brussels, and she's an MS patient as well, and that she never thought of it this way, and that it would be super great to have something similar in Brussels as well. And then she told me that she would love to connect with me, and so I can tell her how I created my community and how I can help her kind of create something similar back in Brussels. So for me, that was like the impact that I wanted to create. First of all, I want to kind of put the faces of internationals, or I don't know, global people with MS in Europe, as well as kind of inspiring others to create their own initiatives. That was my nice experience. And the second one would be just doing my events, like posting them online and seeing people come together, even if it's five of us, even if it's eight, or sometimes we're only two. For me, that is already meaningful. That even though we're still little, we're still only a few people, that in the future we might be more, and this is bringing something already.
Yeah, beautiful. And also linking your first activity to the second one, even if you might have two people, one of those might feel inspired to start to bring more.
Or hopefully, yeah.
Lead on, yeah, build on that story. Do you have any difficulties that you have also encountered? I can imagine that it's a difficult journey to get to where both of you are. So do you have some challenges you would like to share?
Yeah, I think although, you know, we have managed to grow MS together to a certain point, it is still something that we struggle with, you know, getting the word out there about the support that we can offer people. And I think that is still because of like limited resources. Like I work full time, so everything with MS Together is just in my spare time. And then it's all managed by myself and then a handful of volunteers who also have MS. So, you know, it's just, I think the main thing is resources and trying to grow, you know, organically as much as we can, but then also time, because you know, there's so much that we want to do and there's so many plans that we have, but it's just about managing those. And yeah, hopefully, you know, in the future that will change and we will be able to get some resources, get some funding. But yeah, it's still, you know, something that we're struggling with. And I guess a lot of people that are starting things out, you know, like yourself, Tanya, they're also struggling with.
Definitely, I agree with you. I think that we often forget that it was one people's mind that created this whole yeah. community. For me, it's still a one-person job. I do have a second person, like within the group, I started kind of asking for help, because at the end of the day, it's about the community, not about ourselves. We are working toward creating something where we feel comfortable, and it was out of our own need to connect with others. But I think at the end of the day, it's about benefiting the whole community. And for me, this is the struggle that I'm having right now, is kind of not only showing the value that this community can have to my own people, to my own people here in Austria, my own kind of target group, but also kind of fostering the sense of community. Because back in the days, I remember, like, I come from a culture where community is everything. We have big families, we have the cousin of the cousin, the friends of the friends of the friends, and they will join your activities. And as a foreigner, you come here without not knowing anybody, kind of starting your own journey, kind of making friends in school, at work, at the university, but still kind of struggling with this sense of belonging and building the sense of community within yourself and others is so important, but also very challenging because people admire you and are like, oh yeah, that sounds like a great idea, but the effort is on you unless you start kind of creating something bigger and you kind of meet people like-minded people or even a second person who has the same energy and the same ideas and the same wanna create this with you.
The only thing I can reply is how do you do it? And I think a lot of our listeners will be active members of the MS societies, dealing with their own groups, also having full-time jobs or being students. Do you have any tips for them? How do you do it actually?
I think it's still a struggle. Like it's very hard, but I make sure that I set myself, you know, specific time each week to do what I need to do rather than like just trying to do it all the time whenever I have a spare 5 minutes, because then it can get very overwhelming. But I think, you know, when you believe in something so much, I'm sure you're the same, Tanya, when you can see the value that it has and you believe in your idea and you believe in helping the community and, you know, that's all you want to do, then you do find time and you can try and make it work. But my main tip would be, yeah, definitely set time aside and stick to that time, because otherwise it does get a lot. And, you know, as we said before, we are just one person and, you know, we can only do so much at the moment. So, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. For me, it's about lowering your expectation. It might sound a bit negative, but it is. Like, we have so many ideas. And if you're a content creator, like you mentioned at the beginning, Amy, then you know that you have so many ideas. You're a creative person by heart, by the soul. You want to see every one of your ideas come true. But it's about lowering expectations or more or less having realistic expectations. At the beginning, you cannot expect to fill a concert room with your tiny idea. And also MS patients, there are a lot around the world, but not necessarily in your country or your city. So I think for me, it's about keeping realistic expectations, but also kind of distancing yourself from what you're doing for your community and also focusing on yourself. Because at the end of the day, we have our own lives, we have our own jobs and own goals, and we cannot help others if we're not well ourselves. So I think for me, it's like, okay, I'm doing this for the community, but I'm also putting some thoughts and ideas and working on myself at the same time.
Yeah.
I fully agree with that. And that's something I repeat to all the young advocates we work with. I mean, you have to take care of yourself first, because if you are not well, then there's no point in advocating. So prioritize yourself. I like that, Tanya. Taking the discussion a little bit back, what do you think, how do you think the work of young advocates contribute to the wider MS movement?
I think what I've seen anyway over the last 5 years is a lot more people sharing their stories. And I think that is through, you know, things like me and Tanya are doing, like helping people to feel empowered and, you know, feeling like they can share their story and that they, yeah, just, I don't know. I've lost my train of thought.
No worries. We got you.
Maybe because you're doing it all.
I've lost what I was trying to say.
Should I rephrase the question? I can also do that.
Yeah, maybe. So what do you want to go, Tanya?
So what I'm trying to ask is, how does the work of young people complement the wider MS movement? Because people see them as two separate entities. They're like, okay, young people are doing their own thing, and then this is what the MS community is advocating for, which they're doing the same work. But that's why usually people that are older within the movement, they see it as a threat that the young people are starting their own communities, and they see that we approach different things. In my eyes, I think they're complementing, and it's just how we young people, we need our own space. You both started your thing because you saw that there was a need for young people to connect and to be themselves. And we also advocate for a little bit different things because we are at a different stage of life. Like if our priority is to start a family or that we don't have a job or we don't know how to tell our employer that we have MS, then of course the discussion is different than the old one, which was focusing more on treatment. How do you think the work of young people contributes to the wider MS community?
We complement each other. The existing MS community has done a lot for MS patients, for visualizing multiple sclerosis, visualizing life with a chronic illness, kind of pushing for trials, kind of pushing for medication and a change in the healthcare system. Nonetheless, these are the people who have been growing with the system. And we forget that there are new people getting diagnosed, younger people getting diagnosed. We talk about pediatric care. Like I myself had symptoms when I was 14 years old, 12 years old. And back in the days, I was not aware of this community or whatever, what it was happening. But now with my diagnosis and the age I am living in, I really need to create something that kind of goes with my living situation right now. And when I see the community, what has been going on so far, like I mentioned before, I didn't feel myself represented because I'm at the age where I am living a different situation. I'm finishing schools. I'm finishing my master's. I want to start a family. I want to get married. And I want to understand how this impacts, how the diagnosis impacts my life. And for me, I will always trust people that are living the same situation as myself. So for me, it's important to get advice from a person my same age or from someone who is living the same experiences. And I think that if younger people get involved into producing something, like creating new ideas in the community, then we won't have an old mindset or an old system. We will kind of renew the system so that it fits the newer community, the newly diagnosed people. And that's why at the beginning of this interview, I mentioned I did not see myself represented because many of the things that are happening within the MS community in Austria specifically are meant for an older target group, an older and it's super important that they do this job, but we're forgetting about the newly diagnosed younger generations. And I personally don't like when an older person, someone who has already experienced so much, comes and gives advice to me about my situation when the situations are not comparable at all. So it's very important for younger people to kind of activate themselves and advocate for their own needs, which is what we do within our communities, Amy and I, but also as a single person, our situations are totally different. So we need to kind of advocate for ourselves as well in our own situations.
Yeah, completely agree. Just to add a bit more on that, but you've said that very brilliantly. But yeah, it is just about advocating for different things. So, you know, what I was talking about earlier, how young people, you know, between the ages of 18 and 35, just for an example, you know, all the different life stages, life changes that people go through, the discussion is very different, and the things that affect young people now are very different from, you know, how it affected them years ago. And also people getting diagnosed younger, you know, as you were saying, Tanya. And I think the other thing that I'd add is MS has changed so much over the past few years, you know, the last 5, even 10 years, the treatments that have become available and the way that MS is seen now, I think is so different. So for me, it's kind of what Tanya said earlier, it's rather than focusing on the doom and gloom side of MS, it's more about empowering young people living with MS and showing them that they can still live the lives that they want to. They just might have to make a few adaptations along the way, but it's, for me, it's more about that now rather than just what it used to be. It has definitely changed, and I think we can work with that, but also it's important that we do our own thing, and that's why, you know, things like this are so important.
Yeah, I've also seen how the discussion has changed in the past 2 years, let alone compared to 10 years ago. And the treatment that is available to young people now is brilliant. And I also see the benefit of working alongside the older generation, because at the end of the day, they have been where we have been and listening and learning from their experiences. But I think it's important that we experience life as it is right now. I mean, we've also lived through a pandemic, which young people have lived differently than other generations. And that has clearly impacted us and how we approach life and how we approach life with the diagnosis.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we're all also going to be old eventually. Yeah. And we're going to need, we're going to have different needs. But what I think, or what I like to think about the efforts that I'm putting, is I'm making room for the new generation to feel comfortable to talk about MS, to talk about living with a chronic illness, and to not feel like this is your, your last hope. Like there's always a way out. There's always a way to turn your coin around, and to feel comfortable in their own skin and to advocate for themselves and not be scared to state what they need.
Yeah, beautiful. And you, Tanya, have stated what you need and what you would like from the future EU elections this summer through your participation in the European Youth Event. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about this?
So I had the pleasure of being part of the team from the EMSP, from the European Multiple Sclerosis Platform, Young People's Network. We were a small team of 8 people, I remember, that went to visit the European Youth Event, not only as a guest, but actually participated in actively talking about MS in our own lives and what we do as a young advocate for ourselves and for our communities, to not only create awareness around MS, but also to kind of take an active part in the European elections from 2024. And our activity was very fun, and it was also very successful, because we were living books. We were all telling our stories about our diagnosis, how we struggle with MS, but also how we have managed to turn our coin around, like I mentioned before, within our own communities. And we had 3 different focus stories, which were environment, climate, and security. My part was on security, which for me, security not only means like feeling safe in your own house, feeling safe in the sense of safety within a conflict or a natural disaster, but also safety, life security, basically having a roof, having healthcare, having your future secure to live the life that you want. So for me, it was a nice experience in so many ways. From one hand, I was the one talking to an audience of, I don't know how many we were there. Maybe you can talk about that.
More than 100.
Yeah. So basically, it was the first time that I was talking in front of an audience that I didn't have any relationship to. Like, the only people I knew at this event was basically the group I was with from the YPN. And for me, the reception of the public was so inspiring, because they were very open about our ideas. They also kind of saw the need to advocate for our own needs. And also they respected a lot where we were coming from. They were very supportive, and also they had an open mind and an open heart for our stories. And we put messages out there that were not considered before, which is, I think the most important part of the whole experience. Because sometimes we forget with the world the way it is right now. We often forget other important topics to address, other important topics. And this was the opportunity to do so. So, like, long story short, it was a very inspiring experience. I was so glad to have participated, not only as a living book, but also as a part of the European Youth Event.
Yeah, it was a beautiful experience. The participants were mainly other youth advocates, and it was beautiful to see how well received the stories of people living with MS were, and how people really thought about what it means to be living with MS in 2023. And the questions they were asking were just beautiful. So thank you, Tanya, for participating as well and for sharing your story. How has this event influenced the way you see youth activism?
Well, I was more open about my activism. I think that this was for me the opportunity that I could see that I was actually impacting something. Because sometimes when we start building our ideas and building our own communities, we often don't take the time to step back and look at the big picture or look at what we have created. And going to the European Youth Event, it was the one time where I really felt that my efforts were paying off, because we were kind of representing young people with multiple sclerosis. This is an opportunity that not everybody has. So that for me was very nice for myself. I was very proud of the efforts I was putting, but also I was very motivated by the reception of the people listening to our stories. And when I came back, I definitely wanted to keep my activism going and put more effort into building the community I'm working on right now, because I see that it makes sense, that it's worth it, and that regardless of the time that you're putting in this, it will pay off eventually.
Nice. And you represented the community beautifully. I also think that Amy is nodding along, and I think you were thinking of the launch of your project and how that motivated you. Now I'm going to ask a question about the future. So how do you see the future of youth activism and within the MS community?
I think that there are going to be more young people investing their time in creating ideas and bringing new ideas in revolutionizing the healthcare system, the European laws and policies, but also within their communities. I think that these efforts that we're doing at the Young People's Network, we as individuals in our communities, are just going to be inspiring more people to be more active. And also it will contribute into normalizing living with a chronic condition.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think just the more that, you know, we start, the more we keep sharing people's stories, the more we keep empowering people to share their stories, the better. And it will hopefully, you know, help shift the perception of MS a bit more, because there's still a lot of misconceptions around MS. I think that's a massive thing that, you know, still needs to be worked on. So, but the more people talk about it, the better. And yeah, I just think more people get involved in the movement and more voices will be heard. And yeah.
I agree with that.
Nice. Let's hope that through this podcast as well, more people get inspired and get involved within the MS community. In closing, I would like to play a quick game called Rapid Fire. So I'll just shout some words at you, not really shout, and then you would have to say what the first thing that pops in your mind. Instagram or Twitter?
Instagram.
I would also choose Instagram. Reels, would you rather watch a Reels or a YouTube video?
Reels.
Same. Give me that quick content. If you could have dinner with any activist, who would it be and why?
Wow, you got me there.
Yeah, like, me too.
I can start if you want. I would definitely invite Jane Fonda.
Yeah, to be honest, I always, I don't know if she considers herself an activist, but she's an actress, which I really admire, which is Emma Watson, because she comes from a background where you wouldn't expect someone to be so open about her ideas and her activism and her own kind of mind. Lebensmotto, how do you say that?
Life motto.
So many languages in my head. So I would definitely want to share a dinner with Emma Watson.
I think sticking to the MS theme, I'd probably say Selma Blair, just because I loved Legally Blonde. And so I've always loved Selma Blair. And, you know, to have someone that is, you know, that well-known, that is, you know, sharing their struggles with MS so openly, I think it's brilliant. And I'd love to have a dinner with her.
I hope you one day meet her. What is the best tip for engaging and mobilizing fellow young activists? Also a difficult one.
The best tip, like an advice? Yeah. Just do it. I'm not promoting anything, but I feel that sometimes the word activism comes with how do I do that? But it's just about just opening up about your ideas, just post something, just talk about it, and use social media for that.
Yeah. I think I'd have to say something very similar. The quote, be the change that you want to see, is kind of what I live by, because, you know, I noticed that there was a gap and I realized what support I needed. So I just did it, like Tanya said. And, you know, it's not always going to be easy and it might start off really, really small, but as long as you're doing what you believe in, then that's the main thing, I would say.
Yeah, I'm going to end with your words, just do it. I hope that through this podcast, we are really inspiring someone to start, post something today, or tell a friend that you have a mess that you haven't told yet. I think any step counts. Find that vision and work for it. I want to end by saying thank you for sharing your stories and your initiatives. For more information, find that in the description. I also want to thank our listeners for listening. Stay tuned for more engaging conversations through our Instagram and Twitter accounts at EUMSYouth. And if you'd like to know more about the European Multiple Sclerosis Platform and what we do, please go to our website, www.emsb.org. Until next time.